The contents of the following program are entirely true, as shocking as they may sound. Stay with us.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, sometimes the society we're living in is turned so much upside down that truth becomes error and error becomes truth and light becomes darkness and darkness becomes light and right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right, which is why we need to clear our heads, get back to the scriptures, open our hearts before God so that we can have moral clarity, that we can have spiritual sanity. Michael Brown here with you today. Delighted to have this opportunity. Friends, as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, in the teaser, the words leading into the show, what you're about to hear is entirely true, as crazy as it may seem, but by God's grace, we will bring moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Welcome to The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 if you have a question for me or for my guest that I'm about to introduce. If you would like clarity on something, if you want to disagree, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday, which means we focus on the world, we focus on moral and cultural issues. So we've got some really important things to talk about. All of our friends living in Greater New York, New Jersey, many of you listening right now on WMCA in New York City and into New Jersey, these things are of special interest to you. I'm going to be talking about things having to do with New York City mayoral campaign as well, but they're really of interest to the entire nation. And my guest is Greg Quinlan. He'll be joining with me the next 20-something minutes. He is the president of PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, and is himself an ex-gay, a former homosexual. Yes, these people do exist. And he's in the midst of a wild issue taking place in New Jersey having to do with righteousness and having to do with family rights. Greg, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Greg, just to paint a picture in the next minute and a half, and then we're going to really dive into these issues and then tell our listeners what they can do. Tell me about PFOX. Tell me about why there's a need for an organization that is devoted to being parents and friends of ex-gays and gays.
Well, we were originally founded to counter PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. An organization which really told parents, friends, family, and the circles that you had to accept somebody who had a homosexual identity. There's nothing you could do about it. You were born that way. PFOX exists to let you know that you always should love your family member who has struggling with same-sex attraction, who has accepted a homosexual identity. Don't break relationship with them, but you don't have to accept the decision they've made. Because no one is born a homosexual, no one. And so what we say is that prodigal, that father was still the father of that prodigal, whether he was in the whorehouse, in the pig pen, or coming up the path home. He was always the father, never stopped loving him, always wanted a relationship, and that's what we maintain, always our family, always our children. So that's what PFOX is about.
All right, Greg, when we come back, we need to talk about what's happening in New Jersey. It's one thing when people hear about it happening in California. If they don't live in California, they say, how does that affect me? Or, I don't know, kind of is this stuff really happening? But when it gets a little closer to home for those that live on the East Coast, you better believe these things are areas of concern. Every parent, every young person listening, every pastor, leader, don't go anywhere. I'm coming back with urgent news with Greg Quinlan.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For many years now, I have said those who claim to be tolerant are the most intolerant. Those who say they're being inclusive are totally exclusive. When they say diversity, they mean my way or the highway. I've also said those who came out of the closet, gay activists 40 plus years ago, fighting in their view for equality, for what was right, for what was fair, for quote, gay rights. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. And we've got some striking news about that, again, affecting the state of New Jersey. Or I should say New Jersey is next, and who knows what's after that. 866-348-7884. My guest, Greg Quinlan, president of Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, himself a man who, through the grace of God, has come out of homosexuality and has been on the front lines of championing the rights of those who are not happy with their same-sex attraction. Greg, for those who may not know what's taking place in New Jersey, the bill that is sitting on Governor Christie's desk, which will pass unless he vetoes it, tell us the nature of this bill and then the horrific evil of this bill.
This bill is A3371. It is a bill that would ban any chance or hope for a minor child who is struggling with same-sex attraction to get therapy from a professional. In other words, the parents would be denied, who parents have, this is raping parents of their children and taking away their parental authority and God-given right. If you have a child who's struggling with same-sex attraction, and they're being barraged with this with television and in the government schools these days, and being told to try it, they might like it, or saying because you behave a certain way or have certain likes or dislikes that makes you a homosexual or that you probably are gay, or we also call this the Jerry Sandusky bill. So if a child has been sexually molested and now they're struggling with same-sex attraction, we may not be able to find out the why of that because they are being denied the therapy they need. That's what this bill does. It's the same bill that was passed in California.
So Greg, up to what age, when we say a minor, up to what age are we speaking?
Up until they turn 18 years of age.
Okay, so you know you've dealt with many people who've been caught up in homosexuality for many years, some happy, quote, to be living this lifestyle, others struggling with, others who've come out of it. You know that there are many diverse reasons that people end up living a certain way or being attracted to the same sex. But sometimes, and many cases, it does tie into childhood abuse and things like that. So let's paint a picture now. You've got a boy. Maybe he was raped by a neighbor, unbeknownst to the parents, from the ages of 8 to 10 by a male neighbor. He's struggling a lot with his own sexual identity. He's 16 years old. He's 17 years old. He finds himself only attracted to males. He finds himself thinking sexual fantasies with males. He wants to follow Jesus. He has certain moral values. He really wants to marry a woman and be able to have children of his own. His parents affirm him and say, hey, we want to help you. This bill would say it is illegal for a therapist to help that kid. We're not talking about parents sending their kid against their wishes to some camp where they're going to get shock therapy, some non-existent place where this is allegedly going to happen. We're talking about someone who says, or for whatever reason, maybe they were never molested or abused, but they say, I'm not happy with being same-sex attracted. I want to get to the root of it. I want to try to understand what this is, and I want to be able to deal with it. Mom, Dad, can you help find a good professional for me? This bill would say it's illegal. Is that correct?
That's right. It's illegal. There would be punishments for the practitioner, for the counselor, who would even attempt to do this kind of therapy. It's called sexual orientation change efforts, and that's what this would ban. And it also bans the parent taking the child out of state to get that therapy.
Oh, so they would also say to the parent, you are not allowed to go to another state. So let's say that you're in a state with strict abortion laws and you want to have an abortion, so you go to another state to do that. That's fine, according to the law, but you couldn't go to another state to get professional help. And that would, so there'd have to be some system of being able to track that, huh?
That's exactly what this is. It's a system of intimidation. But people need to know, too, how sinister this is and how far it goes. This project is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center, a federally funded hate group. Your tax dollars fund this hate group that has now become a pro-homosexual voice that is now using now the intimidation of the court systems and by legislation to ban any objection to homosexual behavior by the parent, by the church, by anyone.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm on their list. And Greg, I imagine that Right Wing Watch and these other groups will cover our interview today and quote us because they delight doing things like that. But I'm on the list of Southern Poverty Law Center, their list of 30 new leaders of the radical right. I'm on the same list with Malik Zulu Shabazz, leader of the New Black Panthers. I'm on the same list with David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm on the same list with neo-Nazis and you name every kind of racist bigot. Why? Because I say that God has a better way than homosexual practice and that God never intended a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman and that marriage, as we've always known it, is best for society. Isn't there actually blood on the hands of the SPLC at this point?
Well, yes, there is. This organization is no longer a civil rights organization. It is a homo-fascist organization that has really now become pro-pedophile. This is the kind of organization they are. And wear it as a badge of honor that you're on their list. I'm absolutely appalled that I'm not.
Genuinely, it was a badge of honor to be on it. What troubles me is I know what happened to the Family Research Council, FRC,
right.
That a guy got on the SPLC website, Southern Poverty Law Center website, looked at alleged hate groups, those groups that did not celebrate and affirm homosexual practice. And then after going there, he found where FRC was located, and he went in there with the intent of shooting up as many people as he could, and then he was going to put Chick-fil-A sandwiches by their corpses. And by God's grace, he was stopped before he could kill anyone. There's blood on their hands. We've warned them. Listen, anyone disagree, this is an open society, but when you provoke people with those type of words and that type of hate and that type of rhetoric, there's a responsibility. Now, you just said something. I want to come back to the bill. But you said something, and I want to give you an opportunity to explain it, because obviously this will be challenged. You said that the SPLC is pro-pedophile. Greg, is that just hate rhetoric on your end, or can you actually support that factually?
As someone who has been there, done that, bought the T-shirt and the whole outfit, I can tell you that most of the young men and women that I speak to have been sexually molested at an early age by an adult. I was sexually molested by a peer, but it was done through pornography and that. But what I'm saying is that in their support of this kind of legislation and their advocacy for the homosexual agenda, they are supporting the sexualization of children at an early age, and that is pedophilia.
All right. So to be perfectly clear then, let's focus in on this situation. A kid gets sexually abused. Anybody in their right mind has to recognize this can deeply mess with a child's psyche, a child's self-esteem, sense of identity, sexuality. How many women are there that were sexually abused by men that now hate men because of it? You can understand that. So let's say abuse plays into this. A teenager or a young person, 8-year-old, is having these nightmares and is unhappy with being same-sex attracted and says, "Mom, Dad, I want help." The idea that this could actually be passed, go through the houses in New Jersey, that it could be passed, that efforts at change, helping someone change sexual orientation, are so dangerous that this is illegal. I mean, Greg, it's a surreal world we're living in, that this is actually on the table and we actually have to take stands against it. So take 1 minute now, then we'll come back to this. What's the basis of this? Why is this considered so terribly dangerous? Why did these legislators go along with it?
Well, that's a good question. Why? Because there was absolutely no evidence, no proof, a lot of anecdotal nonsense, but no evidence whatsoever that this was harmful to anyone. In fact, none of the mental health organizations have a single peer-reviewed study that shows that there's any harm done to anyone by receiving this kind of therapy, reparative therapy, conversion therapy, which, by the way, reparative therapy, all therapy seeks to repair something. This is talk therapy. It's not electroshock therapy. It's not chemical therapy. This is therapy that does nothing more than you talk with someone about the issue so you can discover why you have those feelings and seek ways and methods to change those feelings if you want them to change. A person's right of self-determination is being denied. But these folks literally took everything they heard, emotional, anecdotal testimony, which one was an outright lie, absolute fabrication. So this is what we're going through, and the legislators are buying this book. They're drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right, so when we come back, Greg's going to tell you exactly what you can do, because the governor can still veto this.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the broadcast. It's Wednesday as we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. My guest, Greg Quinlan, who is the president of PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. Greg, let's just take one more moment to explain how it is that people in California, legislators in California with SB 1172, legislators in New Jersey with the current bill there, how they drank this Kool-Aid to believe that you don't dare try to help someone overcome same-sex attraction. So basically, they bought the Kool-Aid that no one can ever really change. That's one thing. And then the other thing was that efforts to bring about change are totally destructive. And then lastly, that all types of crazy, bizarre methods are used at so-called reorientation camps, and that this is what the bill was about. Let's just focus on the middle question. Do you think there are people who tried to change, found themselves unable to change, and because of that got very depressed or suicidal? Do you think that scenario does really happen?
Oh, I think that's certainly a possibility. But again, it's still up to the individual. It's a matter of self-determination. And if you're willing to do the work, this doesn't happen with a flip of a switch. Or you don't pray the gay away, the insulting things that homosexuals have said about us. That isn't what we're saying at all. Prayer is certainly a factor here. But you need to understand why you got there and what you need to do to overcome this. It has addictive qualities to it. Sex can be addictive.
And
all our factors here, then we have to deal with them.
Right, and it's a large, complex issue. And it seems, from what I understand, that it's very common that people that go for counseling for either deep psychological issues or addictions or areas of life where they really want to be changed, that about a certain percentage, maybe a third, will say that they were helped. And a third will say it made no difference, and a third will say they're worse. Based on that, we should make all counseling illegal because of potential harm. So this thing is just based on falsehoods blown out of proportion. The bill in California passed, but lawsuits are holding it up, rightly so, challenging it. But this can be stopped in its tracks right now. So, Greg, what do listeners need to do? Do they need to live in New Jersey? And if so, what do they need to do?
Well, that hasn't stopped the homosexuals from calling all over the world to the governor's office asking him to veto it. What we were asking you to do is to call Governor Chris Christie, 609-292-6000, 609-292-6000, and ask him to veto A3371. That's all you have to do. Veto A3371 and pray.
Give it to us one more time. Repeat the numbers again, and Matt will post this as well. But repeat the numbers for Governor Christie again, and then the name of the bill.
Okay. You just need the bill number, which is
bill number
3371, the anti-therapy ban, and the call Chris Christie at 609-292-6000, 609-292-6000.
And, Greg, if folks want to find out more about PFOX, where do they go?
pfox.org, pfox.org.
All right, Greg, be strong in the Lord. We're standing together with you, and we know ultimately that righteousness will triumph and what is right will triumph if we hold on together. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Joey, I want to play clip number 5. I want you to hear this. This is from a website. It's Kids in the House. It's an educational website about parenting. I want you to hear what parents are being told about kids, about gender. This, friends, is what we're up against because this is the new normal.
Gender comes in many shapes and sizes, and I'm going to give you just a simple laundry list. It's not exhaustive. There is the transgender child. That is the child who says, I am not the gender that's on my birth certificate. I am the opposite gender. There is the gender fluid child, and that is the child who plays along the dimensions of gender from male to female as we as a culture define that, and is perfectly happy with the gender on the birth certificate, but not with expressing it in binary boxes. Then there are the kids that I call gender hybrids. They will tell me, you know what, I'm half boy, I'm half girl. Now, these are children who may be on their way to being transgender, but for the time being, they see themselves as somewhat of a hybrid. Then there are older youth who call themselves genderqueer. And they say to us, why are you hung up with any of these categories? Why have to define gender at all? I'm just all genders.
All right. For those of you who thought I was crazy when I spent all the years working on the book A Queer Thing Happened to America, for those of you who thought, why do you bring these things up on the radio? I mean, we have other issues to deal with. I hope now, as you see what's happening in New Jersey, other parts of America, as you see the constant bombardment through the media, as you see how our very rights and freedoms of conscience and speech and religion are being threatened, as we've documented in other shows, as you now see more and more the attack on gender itself, gender is the enemy. One website I quoted from some time ago, they said, look, just go to your average school. There's so much gender there, like boys and girls and boys' bathrooms and girls' bathrooms and boys' teams and girls' teams. And we're talking about the undoing of foundations of human society, where anything is everything and everything is anything. And if you can do it with male, female, you can do it with anything. Oh, are there kids who are troubled? Oh, yes. Are there parents who don't know what to do? Yes. Do we as God's people need wisdom? Do we need to work with those who have expertise here? Yes, 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 yes. But we do not change all of society based on the struggles and confusion of a few. It would be like a school with one deaf child saying no one can speak, everyone has to use sign language, rather than saying let's do what we can to help this child with a handicap, rather than redefine everyone else based on someone else's struggles. Have you downloaded my 2 series, Spiritual Warfare, Angels, Demons, and Deliverance? 24 hours of teaching. Listen, You could take someone to a movie, let's say it was a decent G-rated movie, and pay more money and walk away an hour or two later and you're done than you would to get these 24 hours of lectures, of eye-opening. I'm talking about in the word, practical, spiritual warfare, what it is, the realm of the spirit, how we live in this world, what we need to know about things like deliverance, what does the Bible say and not say. I'm talking about practical eye-opening, life-changing. What we've done to celebrate the launch of our digital store is you can download these for just $15 for everything to keep. 24 hours of teaching straight from our website. Go to askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage. Take you a matter of a few minutes. You'll have these downloaded. Listen to them on your cell phone, MP3 player, computer, and you'll find your life changed. And this is what we need to be changed and be world changers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I heard the intro to the show again, as I do several times every day, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And hearing the billing, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, I'm sitting here thinking, was there ever a time more in our nation's history, ever a time where we needed moral, cultural, spiritual revolution more than we do today? Ever a time where we needed to wake up to righteousness and live different lives and live those lives before the world rather than just waiting for the world to somehow change itself? 866-348-7884. I mean, isn't it true that a lot of times we just kind of wait for things to change themselves, that we think we can keep doing the same things that we're doing and it's going to produce change, as opposed to recognizing that more of the same will only produce more of the same? So I would love to hear from some of my friends in New York right now. As we are a national program, we talk about issues around the nation, and then sometimes we'll focus on individual places. I don't normally say, hey, call me if you live in New York. If you're listening to me on WMCA, if you're listening to me on WLIX, I don't normally say that, but I want to do it now because I can't help but notice what's going on with the mayoral race in New York City. And no person is all good or all bad. We understand that. But things seem a little exaggerated to me now, and I'm wondering how you are feeling. 866-348-7884, in particular if you live in New York City. How do you feel right now about your candidates for mayor? Mayor Bloomberg, I'm sure, has done good in different ways, but then he's clearly been anti-religion in other ways, pushed hard to get churches out of school buildings. If there were worship services that were going to take place, get them out of school buildings. Did not have any religious representation at the 9/11 annual gatherings. And then it's pushed for certain legislation. You know, you can't buy a Slurpee certain amount of ounces because it's unhealthy, but radically pro-abortion. But, I'm looking at things. You've got one of the leading candidates is Christine Quinn. She was a very out and proud New York City Council speaker, and she would be potentially the first lesbian mayor of New York. Now, remember, one of the biggest cities in America is Houston, and Houston has a lesbian mayor. And she has been challenged by a leading pastor in Houston, a friend of mine, Steve Riggle, when she has come out and strongly been pro-redefining marriage and refers to her partner as the first lady. He said, hey, the state of Texas stands against that. You're supposed to be upholding what we stand for in Texas. But you have one candidate who's Christine Quinn. Now, she may be capable in many ways. She must be to be where she is. But bear in mind, she's an out and proud lesbian and therefore would push gay activist agenda all the more proudly. Then you have former congressman for Brooklyn and Queens, Anthony Weiner. Now, by all means, we should forgive those who fall and repent. And we should be willing to extend grace to someone who says, hey, I've messed up and I'm going on together with my family, and we are seeking to move forward and rebuild, and I want to re-earn your trust. But, it's not exactly what happened with him, is it? And then former Governor Eliot Spitzer. I don't remember a collection like this. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, there's more to the mix as we focus on New York City. Of course, former Governor Eliot Spitzer has to step down. Scandal with a prostitute, and he'd be running for controller. So I'm just wondering, is there a righteousness candidate? Is there someone in the city, Democrat, Republican, Independent, forget whether they have a chance to win, are there any righteousness candidates out there? Are there any people who you could look to and say, all right, this one could really be an agent of change. This one could stand for righteousness. This one can stand for strong moral values. This one could voice strong pro-family values. I'm just asking the question. You know, I'm not politically leaning in my thinking. And in other words, when I think about bringing about change, I don't think primarily in political terms. And in fact, Joey, let's get clips 3 and 4 ready. I want you to hear some comments. This is on the Brody file on Christian TV. Senator Ted Cruz is being interviewed. Now, I'm all for those who break with the status quo. I'm all for those who challenge the establishment. And Senator Cruz has been doing that a whole lot. Listen to what he says. It's in two parts. I want to add an amen, and then I want to raise a question. Go ahead, clip number 3.
We've been hearing a lot of talk about spiritual revival in this country. These pastors are dead serious about it. What is your sense about that? Do you believe that spiritual revival is needed in this country right now?
Without a doubt. Our country is facing unique challenges. Everywhere I go, people are really afraid for the future of our country. I think we're at the edge of a precipice. If we keep going down this path, we're risking losing our nation. We're risking losing the incredible oasis of liberty.
All right, so he makes it clear we need spiritual revival. He makes it clear that we are in the process of losing our oasis of liberty, and he is absolutely right. But listen to what he says next.
What we have seen in recent years is an explosion in the power of the federal government over our daily lives, and hand in hand with that, an erosion of the constitutional protections that safeguard our basic liberties. And I think all across this country we're seeing an awakening as people are standing up saying, we want to get back to the constitutional principles, the free market principles that served as the foundation for our nation.
All right, so to me there are two separate but related issues. Now hear me, I'm talking about New York City mayoral contest. I'm talking about, look at some of the leading candidates, one an out and proud lesbian, another man with a sex scandal that goes from one sex scandal into another sex scandal. Of course, if you're a lesbian, it doesn't really matter what's happening in your private life because you're being celebrated as a lesbian. If you're a heterosexual and there's sex stuff going on in your life, well, then that's no good because you're a heterosexual. I mean, I'm just going to leave that. But then you have, again, in a related office, Governor Eliot Spitzer, who's shamed and disgraced because of his past, and this is being brought up constantly. I assure you, if it was homosexual-related, it would not be brought up the way it's being brought up to him. In other words, if a guy leaves his wife or is unfaithful to his wife for another lady, that's shameful, terrible, horrible. If he leaves his wife because he's gone off with another man, now he's been courageous and shown who he really is. In fact, I'm going to come back to that. So on the one hand, I see certain things happening in society, and other candidates may have their other baggage. I'm just focusing on these issues today. And I say, where are the righteous men and women being raised up in our big cities in New York? Is it that by the time you get through the political establishment, you no longer have a voice? Could it be that the political establishment is so compromised and has made so many concessions to so many different groups that you can no longer speak with any sense of authority or freedom because you are indebted to the establishment? Could that be why so few are really rising up with righteousness? But as much as I say that, I absolutely agree with Senator Cruz that we must have a spiritual revival. We must have a spiritual awakening. We must have a turning to God on a level beyond what we've seen if America is to be spared, if America is not to fall off completely a moral, cultural precipice into moral, social, familial, spiritual anarchy. At the same time, when he then ties that in with certain political issues or Tea Party or conservatism or constitution, then to me, yeah, they relate, but they miss the point, because we could return to certain constitutional freedoms and constitutional ideals, but unless the church awakens, we're going to be in the midst of this same ongoing mess. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does it make sense to you? Here, I actually wrote an article that dealt with some of this a couple of weeks ago. This is official. The Oxford Dictionary says marriage definition will change to include gay people. So the actual definition of marriage will change. The world's most renowned dictionary of the English language has said they're looking into how same-sex couples marrying in England and Wales will affect the word. And the Queen said, yeah, we sign this into law, redefining marriage. The definition of marriage changed in the leading French dictionary because the law changed in France. Instead of defining marriage as between a man and a woman, the dictionary changed it to a solemn act between two same-sex or different-sex persons who decide to establish union. Hang on. Wait a second. Not only has it redefined it, and of course, the big question is, why two? Why only two? Where did that number two come from? If it's not male, female, what makes the number two special? Why hold to two? Why just two? But notice in the definition, they put same sex first. Even though it's the tiniest percentage of those getting married, and even though it's the new radical redefinition of marriage virtually unknown to society in the past. Other countries with marriage equality, as gay activists like to call it, such as Canada, define marriage by avoiding gender. Has become genderless. Just like there are law books in parts of Canada that no longer use terms like husband, wife. Yeah, you widow, widower. Things that would distinguish between male and female. Gotta get rid of it. So they define marriage by avoiding gender. The Canada Space Dictionary describes it as the state of being a married couple voluntarily joined for life or until divorce. Ugh, you talk about nebulous. And then in England, they're saying they're going to have to redefine it, that a husband could also be a woman. If a husband's married to a man, if a man is married to a man, then a wife could be a man. Or if a woman is married to a woman, then a husband could be a woman. And they're going to have to redefine all this. It is insanity. It is a fundamental assault on the very foundations of human society. Is there anything more basic than male and female? He created them. All of this is getting undone because the church and the nation did not understand where gay activism was taking us. Because the church and the nation got caught up with a soft, feel-good, love-everybody, be-fair mentality that was divorced from truth and reality in many, many ways. And we need people of courage to stand up, full of love, full of gentleness, full of grace. We need people of courage to stand up and say, I am going to do what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. We need pastors, teachers, leaders to speak the truth in love, whether their congregations grow or whether their congregations shrink. We need people to do what's right, whether it gets them a raise or costs them a job. This is simply the cost of righteousness. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." In fact, you ought to rejoice because that's how the prophets were persecuted before you. We're going to come back with maybe the most shocking news yet. So stay tuned. Keep your seatbelts tightly fastened.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay. You know the old saying with taxes, you're going to pay me now, you're going to pay me later. Yeah, who wants to bring up IRS right now? But I don't like saying I told you so. I would rather warn about something. Hey, I hear there's terrible tornado. This is make-believe. I hear there are terrible tornado warnings for thus and such an area. You may want to get off the road and thus and such, get in a safe place. I hear there are terrible warnings, and then everything passes and nothing happens. I would rather that happen than people died in tornadoes. Well, I would rather that my warnings, my concerns, the issues that I raise, I would rather that they were wrong. I would rather that the alarm I've been sounding about the direction that gay activism is taking America and the destructive effect that it would have on the society and on families and on children and freedoms of religion, speech, and conscience, I would rather that I was wrong about all that. Honestly would. I would rather that this was much to do about nothing. In point of fact, it's quite the opposite. The warnings need to be louder. And remember, the way the Lord laid it on my heart was simply this: reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what we've been seeking to model for years now. So we know that the new thrust of gay activism, the most specific focus has been adding the T word, transgender, GLBT. Originally, there was the gay movement and the gay task force, and that quickly became gay and lesbian, then gay, lesbian, bisexual, and then the list has continued to grow, and the T word was added on. I remember a demonstration a few years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Human Rights Campaign was having a big fundraising dinner. I wasn't there, but some of our ministry school students were there, and they told me that there were men in dresses, men dressed as women, identified as transgender, and they were protesting the HRC because they said the HRC was leaving out transgenders, that they were pushing for Employment Non-Discrimination Act. They were pushing for laws that would say you cannot discriminate based on sexual orientation, but they didn't add in gender identity. They were protesting. Well, really, gender identity has been added in. Now, the positive is it has made us conscious of the fact that many people struggle deeply with these issues. The negative is we are now being told this is normal and society should be redefined based on that. So you knew it was coming soon. Here it is. Listen to this love story.
Finally, for the first time ever, he put his arm around me. And it was that rush of shock that, oh my God, I finally just kissed Aaron.
I was sitting here like thinking, I'm kissing the most beautiful girl in the world. The most amazing woman I know.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm kissing Aaron. The most handsome guy, and he's sweet, and he's charming, and he's just always been there.
Okay. Who is this? 18-year-old Katie Hill was born a boy called Luke. And her boyfriend, Aaron Andrews, 16, was once a girl called Emerald. The sweethearts met through a support group for young transsexuals in their hometown in Oklahoma. Katie underwent gender, they now call it gender realignment. Ah, no longer, it used to be sex change surgery, then they said, no, it's gender reassignment. Now it's gender realignment because you're getting realigned with who you really are. Gender realignment surgery, thanks to a $40,000 anonymous donation. Aaron, a former beauty pageant contest, has hormone injection and is working out in the gym with, quote, his father, Mitch, to try to build a muscular body. So this is a girl who I guess is still a girl, certain parts of her body, but the rest of her is looks male, and then I guess at a certain age will have sex change surgery. Both teenagers shocked their families when they revealed their desire to live as the opposite sex, and Katie's father, Randy, 56, U.S. Marine, did not speak to her for 3 years because he was so upset, but now the young couple have the full support of their parents who are coming to terms with their children's gender changes. So you picture that. Your boy is now a girl in love with a girl who was a boy, or the reverse. Does my heart go out to these kids? Yeah. Do they feel like they're finally happy in who they are? Yeah. Does that reflect for a second what God intended? No. Does that reflect his ideal, the quote, gender realignment surgery, the hormones for life, the fact that the boy will never be fully a girl and the girl will never fully be a boy? Is there not a better way to help people from the inside out? But this is where things have gone to the point, friends, coming to a school near you, coming to a church near you, coming to a community near you, perhaps coming to your own family. My own family has been touched in similar ways with an older relative. My heart genuinely breaks for these people, and I cannot for a moment imagine the torment they experienced. I dialogued at length with one man who says he's a woman now. After 37 years of marriage, he finally said he had to change and undergo sex change surgery and the whole bit. And when I met him, it was very sad. He looked like a man dressed as a woman. It's very sad. But I said, what happened to your wife? He said, it effectively destroyed our marriage. It effectively rendered her a widow. I said, after 37 years of marriage, he said it was either that or suicide. Now, that's sad, that's tragic, but I don't believe that with God's help that you ever have to kill yourself, and that's the only solution. People live with a lot of struggle, a lot of torment. Sometimes they don't get free, but they say, I'm not going to yield to that thing. Here we are. These are kids. These are teenagers. So we need awakening. We need awakening. And I'm not worried, I'm burdened, because many of us still don't see the grave nature of the issues. If you haven't read A Queer Thing Happened to America, get it. You know, if you have ebooks, you can download it real cheap, and it's one of the cheapest 700-page books you'll ever read, and search for what you're interested in as you get it on an ebook. But we need to look inside and say, Lord, what we can do, what can we do to bring about difference? Everyone on hold, please stay there. I'm going to get your calls when we come back, all right? So stay right there. I want to talk to each of you. And again, ultimately, these are spiritual battles. Ultimately, the root causes are spiritual in our society. Download 24 hours of teaching that I've done, the best teaching I ever did on spiritual warfare and on angels, demons, and deliverance. We've reduced the price to just $15 for two whole series to download digitally. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Go right there, right on the homepage, and download these two series that will really help you and impact you. My bottom line today, Psalm 11 says, when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? That's a question God is asking you and me today. The contents of the following program are entirely true, as shocking as they may sound. Stay with us.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I wish some of the stories weren't true. I wish we kind of rub our eyes and wake up and realize it's all been a dream, but it's not. So we are here by God's grace today to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. You know, a lot of times you got to clear your head, you got to step back from the conversation, step back from the emotion, get alone with the Lord, take in the Word, meditate on the Word, pray, worship, and then we can see clearly again. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. A bunch of things I want to cover with you today, starting with a story. I wrote an article about it, came out yesterday, called The Most Selfish Thing in the World. And let me ask you this question, all right? Let me ask you this question. If a man disappeared from his family, married with five kids, two conceived naturally, three adopted, married with five kids, goes on a business trip, and never returns, no trace of him, never contacts the family, never says, hey, I've started a new life, forgive me for the damage I've done, nothing. To the point that the family collects on his $800,000 life insurance policy. I mean, that you know, before an insurance company pays that out, they're going to check and check and check and check, and lo and behold, determine that this man is legally dead. That's how much he got off the radar. And then after 16 years, not only does he reappear, I mean, the family was absolutely devastated by his leaving. And he and his wife claimed to be Christians. In fact, when their marriage was on the rocks and they talked about divorce because of their Christian convictions, they said, no, we're not going to divorce. He reappears after 16 years, the family so devastated that the 8-year-old daughter, she was 8 when he left, was drinking at the age of 11 because of the pain of her father's disappearance and the trauma that that caused. So how do you then end up on ABC's 2020 TV show? How do you end up with a story to tell? You say, well, what kind of story is there to tell? I mean, the shame, the repentance of it, the wrongness of it. Were you kidnapped? Is that what happened? Maybe the guy was kidnapped. Did he lose his mind? Did he take some bad drug? Did he get involved in some cult? Did he join another religion? I mean, what kind of story would get you back on 2020? Took off with some other lady. That's not going to get you a story. Yeah, I abandoned my family, took off with another lady, and we've been traveling the world together while my family suffered and went through agony in my absence, thinking I just died, fell. It's unresolved. What happened to Daddy? What happened to my husband? How did he die? Why hasn't his body been found? Can you imagine that? So how do you end up telling your story on national TV? And as much as you say what you did was wrong, even calling it the most selfish thing in the world, you actually say that, you know, I've been enjoying life since then. Yeah, living a hidden life is terrible, but yeah, I mean, happy in my new situation. Oh, you just explained that you took off with another guy. And you were true to yourself because you're actually gay. And that's where you've been for the last 16 years. Oh, yeah. True. Absolutely true.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You have your internal identity, how you see yourself as a gendered person. And then based upon your feelings and how you desire to be portrayed and how you understand gender based on what society has taught you, and you use all that knowledge to modify your behavior and enact some sort of gendered performance.
I gotta be me. I gotta be me. What else can I be?
Isn't that at the root of the issue? In no way do I demean struggles that people go through. A man gets married and says, I'm really not attracted to women. I've tried, but I'm gay. Someone in torment because they look in the mirror and say, my body's female, but I'm a male. I can't imagine going through that. But what I do know is that it's ultimately not about me. And it's not about you. If we are followers of Jesus in particular, it starts with us saying we deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. There's a post I'm going to read in a moment. But someone posted this on my Facebook page, on the Charisma News page in response to my article. My article that was entitled The Most Selfish Thing in the World, about the very story I was talking to you about, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But he talks about his own life and said, I've had same-sex attraction since I was a young boy. And ultimately, he did get married. He's a father and grandfather. He said, my wife knows of my struggles, although because I knew it was a sin, I've never acted on my feelings. So he said, okay, I honored the Lord. I knew it was sin to give way to same-sex attraction. I knew that God would not bless homosexual lifestyle. I got married to a woman. We've had kids. We've had grandkids. We're both glad that we're married. She knows the struggles I've had, but I will not act on them. And he said, over the many years now, it's gotten somewhat easier. That's what happens when you say, I'm going to deny myself and follow Jesus. It's not a matter of being satisfied sexually or romantically. It's a matter of obeying God. Many are changed dramatically. Some aren't. This is a courageous man who says, should I be admired? No. Many Christians deal with tendencies which are contrary to God's word, but I hope to be an encouragement to someone out there that thinks that they cannot stay the course. By God's grace, you can and should. All right, let's go to the phones, beginning with Bailey on Long Island in Copaig. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Bailey.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, I'm blessed. How about you?
I'm doing good. I was calling to comment on when you were speaking about the gay and lesbians and also what was going on in New York with the politicians.
Yeah.
Well, as far as like gay and lesbian, you know, I got a little story. I was away from the church and God. I was mad at God for like 6 months. And I left the church and everything. And last Saturday, I drive a taxi in New York. So I went and picked up this girl and I took her to work. And while we were going to work, you know, we were speaking about everything. And somehow, you know, God came into the conversation. She mentioned God and I explained to her, you know, my situation. I don't want to hear anything about God. And I gave her all my excuses. And she started, you know, just saying that God loved me and started preaching all the verses about love. And it touched me in my heart, you know. And then at that moment, I realized that the reason I was hating God is because I don't recognize my actions. You know, I made choices without, you know, first consulting with God, you know. So it was my fault that I decided to leave the church because I don't like the way things went, you know, because we all go through tribulation and the devil's always tempting us. But my point is, you know, she's lesbian. I found out after the conversation that she's lesbian and she goes to church and she invited me to church. I went with my wife to the church she goes to. And before I left the church, I used to preach a lot, you know, I will meet somebody that's doing drugs. I will take them to the scripture how they are wrong and how the lesbians are wrong. But you know, we are supposed, you know, we will be persecuted more and more. And we already see it now for, you know, loving God and preaching about Christ. But I feel like it's, you know, we shouldn't be persecuting people for what they're doing wrong, because we all doing something wrong, and to God, all the sins are the same. So we should preach about love, and love is the only thing that could change somebody. And then all those questions about, you know, somebody being gay, or, you know, they do drugs or are drunk, they're going to ask, like, well, you know,
all right,
what
so,
about
so let me, yeah, so let me ask this. When I got saved, I was shooting heroin. I was a heavy drug user. I knew that to follow Jesus, I was going to have to give those things up. People didn't throw that at me, but I understood that. I mean, that was pretty clear. But basically, they led me to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicted me, and God freed me dramatically from drugs. But what if there was a strong push to get certain drugs legalized? There was a big push in New York City to get marijuana legalized. And whoops, all right, don't know what happened there. But let's just say there was a big push to get marijuana legalized in New York City, or to go all the way, I mean, heroin, whatever, get it legalized. And there were Christians who were standing up against it saying, no, 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 we cannot do this. This is going to hurt our society. It's going to make things worse. Well, people say, well, but how are the drug addicts going to feel? It's going to feel like you're persecuting them. So what we have to do is remember, when dealing with individuals, yeah, we build relationship. We have meals together. We pray that the Holy Spirit works in their lives. We're there to be a friend and a help. We're not there to yell and scream at them. And every day we see them, tell them, you're a sinner, 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 you're a sinner. Now, there are times we clearly bring the word and say, hey, this is wrong, God's sight. And I remember a couple, they were living together. They started coming to church, and they were still living together. After a little while, we had to talk to them and say, okay, if you're serious about following Jesus, as man and woman, you can't be living together. But the important thing, Bailey, is this. The important thing to understand is that there is a gay activist agenda. That's my issue. It's not individuals. If my neighbor was gay, I'd treat him exactly the same as if he was straight. If I've mentioned this many times, but the first instrument I learned to play when I was 5 and a half, started having organ lessons. My sister and I, she was 3 and a half years older, we started having organ lessons. Our organ teacher was an openly gay man. And sometimes he would come with his partner to our house, and they would stay and have dinner with us. So I grew up in that environment, and I knew, I didn't understand all the dimensions of things. I didn't understand the sex part of it, but I knew that they were two men who liked each other, and they were different. And they were. I grew up in that environment. So if it's a matter of interacting with individuals, if it's a matter of interacting with individual men and women, yes, absolutely. We show them the love of God, and we point them to Jesus for forgiveness and transformation. But Bailey, the issue is that society is being transformed in a negative way because of gay activism, because of which we're losing our religious freedoms, because of which our kids are getting brainwashed in schools, because of which people can't even hold to their freedom of conscience in the place of business, in the schools, colleges, universities, and on and on. So if we really love our society, we have to stand against gay activist laws. So that's the issue. Look, we stand against abortion. And when we do so, there are women out there that have had abortions and say, why are you attacking me? I'm not attacking you. I just don't want more babies to die. So that's the distinction. We're not persecuting gays. Our doors are open to everyone the same. We reach out to everyone just the same. I go out of my way to demonstrate more love to someone that I recognize is homosexual. My heart goes out to them even more to show them the love of God. But when it comes down to, do we stand against marriage being redefined in our state, or do we stand against a bill being passed in New Jersey that would make it illegal for a child to get counseling help to overcome same-sex attraction? Of course we do. So can you understand, Bailey, what God laid on my heart? Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Can you make that distinction in your own mind? All right, well, somehow we're not connecting with Bailey, but I do hope you heard what I had to say, sir. Yeah, I thought we got him back on the line, but either way. We're not persecuting anyone, but when there are laws that are good and there are laws that are bad, And if I stand up against a bad law, somebody's going to get offended. So be it. If I stand up against a bad law, somebody's going to say to me, well, you know, you just hate me. No, no. I love what's right. I love what's right. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I want to go to the phones and I want to share a few things of more shocking interest with you when we come back, along with some lessons from Canada. Yeah, and prepare to be shocked.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Let me just finish out this story that I started with a few minutes back. A man named Eric Myers married his high school sweetheart, and they had two daughters. They adopted three Vietnamese boys. When they went through marital difficulties, they chose not to divorce because of their Christian faith. If you didn't read my article called The Most Selfish Thing in the World, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the latest article. You can read it. Well, in the midst of different financial struggles, etc., Eric goes on a business trip, becomes discouraged, decides to get away for a few days and unwind, not saying a word to his family. Where is he? Well, the days became weeks, then a month, then 4 months. After 4 months, he met a man named Sean Lung and started the new life with his gay partner, completely abandoning his wife and kids to the point that he collected on an $800,000, excuse me, that the family collected on an $800,000 life insurance policy. And in the meantime, he's working odd jobs that don't require any kind of ID, and he and Sean are traveling the world together. So, of course, there's absolute devastating trauma for his kids. His daughter, Kirsten, was only 8 years old when her father left. Remembers her crying herself to sleep every night and screaming that she wanted him back. She retreated to alcohol at age 11, found that it made her feel better. She only quit drinking to comfort her mother, who she describes as one of the most selfless people I've ever met. So that's what happened, life without dad. As for Eric, who recently chose to emerge from his secret life since, quote, living in disguise is a horrible prison, he now confesses, I cannot say anything to deny that this is the most selfish thing in the world. So he's not denying that this is the most selfish thing in the world. But then explaining, I'll never be painted as a saint. Well, why say that? Why add that? Who in the world is going to paint you as a saint? Well, some might. You'll see why. And perhaps finding the ugliness of his actions too much to own up to, he states, but no one is all good and no one is all bad, which you really don't need to say at this point. Remember, he's on ABC News 2020 with his new life with his gay partner. What about coming to terms with his homosexuality? Wasn't that a valid excuse for leaving his wife and children? Some of you remember New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy. Quite a few years ago now. He was hailed for his courage. Oh, yes, courageous man. When he announced publicly with his faithful, loyal wife by his side that not only had he had an affair with another man, but in fact, yes, he is gay and is resigning from office. Within a year, he and his wife were separated. And he was living with his partner, Mark O'Donnell, and then wrote a book called The Confession, which has been billed as being among the most honest political memoirs ever written. What if his confession had been he never really loved his wife, and he had to be true to himself and realize that as a heterosexual man, he had always loved someone else? So he has an affair while married to the other woman, and then publicly gets up and says, I had this affair, and I'm stepping down as governor, and I've got to be true to myself. I realize I really love this other woman, not the woman I married. And then, a year later, leaves his wife, shacks up with the other woman. Would he be hailed as some type of hero? would he be hailed as some type of courageous man? Would men and women across America respect him for that? I mean, I think of other men caught in sex scandals, former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer with prostitutes or with a prostitute, former Representative Anthony Weiner now getting caught again with sexting and other things like that. I don't hear people praising them as, well, I came clean on this. Or I don't hear people praising them for that. A decade before McGreevy's announcement, Dr. Mel White, husband, father, grandfather, seminary professor, pastor, member of the religious right, and ghostwriter for Christian leaders like Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and Billy Graham, he shocked the evangelical world by leaving his wife and declaring his homosexuality, taking up residence with his partner, Gary Nixon. White has been hailed as a bold spiritual pioneer, becoming one of the nation's leading gay activists, even challenging Reverend Falwell in an open letter, calling on him to announce his alleged religious bigotry, but Falwell would not be intimidated, responding with his own open letter in which he acknowledged to White, "You've written of your many attempts to conquer your inordinate affections early in your life. I do not doubt your sincerity nor the pain you have endured in the process, but this is also irrelevant. Moral behavior, like all human conduct, is a choice." Falwell continued, "Millions of godly and pure individuals have chosen to be single and celibate for life. They have determined to have no sexual relationship, heterosexual or homosexual, for a lifetime. Millions more have been widowed early in life and have chosen to remain unmarried and chaste for the remainder of their lives. Because we're human beings, not animals, we have the God-given capacity to govern our conduct regardless of our passions and feelings. Therefore, Mel," Falwell wrote, "there can be no justification for you allowing your passions and feelings to cause you to abandon your wife and family for male lovers you've done. The fact that your dear wife is understanding this and does not hate you in no way vindicates what you've done for her. This simply speaks to her character and the genuineness of her personal relationship with Christ." So Rick Meyers' daughter, Kirsten, finds no justification for her father's actions. She's now the married mother of two. She says, "I know how much I love my children. And if he loved me even half as much as I love them, there'd be no situation where he'd even think it was okay to leave me." And she doesn't believe that her father's sexual orientation is an excuse for his disappearance. She said, "I know a lot of people who would never do this, absolutely never blame it on their homosexuality." You see, nowadays, you got to be true to yourself. You got to be true to yourself. Be true to who you really are. And if that means destroy your family, do it. If that means break your wife's heart, do it. If that means abandon your children, do it, because it's all about me. The gospel says it's all about him. And he will give us the grace to deny ourselves and take up the cross. And he will either change us to take the problem away or give us grace to endure the problem. All right, I'm going to talk with you more about these things. And again, another group clamoring for their rights now based on following the heels of gay activism. So stay with me. I do want to get to some more calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, ultimately, our battle is a spiritual battle. I'm not mad at people. Our battle is not with people. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. That's ultimately where our focus needs to be. We have made available 24 hours of teaching, best teaching I've ever done in my life on spiritual warfare and angels, demons, and deliverance, two 12-hour series. And legitimately, if you took these in classes, you could pay a decent amount to take these as classes and be worth it, but you can download all 24 hours for just $15 as we celebrate the launching of our digital online store. $15 for 24 hours. Yes, you will be deeply blessed as you do. If you can help with an additional donation, that would be awesome. But go to the website. Easiest way to do it. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right there on the homepage, click on the special resource offer to take advantage of that. Or call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Call with your email address. And thanks for standing with us. Thanks for helping us, as together we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, we've got a lot of things to talk about today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We are, by God's grace and with your help, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. The good news is you and I can do something about that. You and I can look in the mirror and say, Lord, take my life fully, wholly. I give myself completely over to you and obey him in the little things and the big things. Who knows what good will come out of it? 866-348-7884. Before I focus on some major moral cultural issues we're facing here in America, which we do on Wednesdays as we focus on the world, the exciting news from England yesterday, clip number 6.
On this day, the 22nd of July, in the year 2013, we welcome a humble duty, a future king, the firstborn of the Royal Highness, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, the third in line to the throne.
Well, actually, it's 2 days ago, of course. I posted yesterday because they hadn't named their son yet. Maybe they should pick the most popular boy's name in England, Mohammed. Of course, I was saying it tongue-in-cheek. But I got some comments from people in England saying it's not the most common boy's name. It's not Harry is or Jack, whatever. It's not the most common boy's name. So I sent them several articles saying, yeah, actually, when people, because there are different spellings for it, when you put the different Mohammeds together, it's absolutely been the number one boy's name on and off for a few years now. Yeah, Islam, you know, as Islam rises and Christianity declines in England, it's a shocking thing to go to places where you used to have churches everywhere and now you hear the prayer call from the mosque. All right, in the first hour, I talked about the real mess with some of the leading candidates for mayor in New York City. And just said, are there any righteousness candidates, any people that are standing for things that we would say are righteous values, not just maybe with a good economic plan? I just want to get feedback on that from our friend Chaplain Viviana over in Brooklyn. We didn't get to connect in the first hour, but did you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I'm looking at the mayoral races in New York, and I normally don't draw national attention to local races, but this has just been so exaggerated to me in terms of a picture of our country. What's your take on this?
Well, first of all, for taking my call, I have been praying with other people and saying, Lord, open up our eyes. There is a pastor named Pastor Eric E-R-I-C-K Salgado, and he is a primary in the Hispanic community, and he's running on the Democratic ticket. Then you have Joe Loda, who is running on the Republican ticket. But what I was telling your call screener is that the powers that be in New York are compromising so much. Or rather, people are compromising with them so much to gain access and power.
Yep.
That we have a divided Christian, divided moral community here in New York. And frankly, Michael, I believe that they're allowing people like Wiener and Spitzer in there to say, okay, well, Quinn's not as bad as that. But I have news for those, and we really need prayer. And if you have people in New York, tell them about these other candidates that Christine Quinn is already promoting, donating of books to do or promote the homosexual agenda.
She's just not right. She's not just a lesbian candidate for mayor. She is an aggressive gay activist lesbian candidate for mayor and one of the leading candidates. And when you look at some of the opposition, you say, oh God, help us. Thank you for the call and sharing that information.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a reason that we talk about these things, friends. There's a reason that we sound the alarm because they affect all of us one way or another. 866-34-TRUTH. The first part of the first hour today, I had Greg Quinlan on, who's the president of Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. And he talked about what's happening in New Jersey. Not California, but New Jersey, that the houses of legislature there have passed a bill making it illegal for someone to get professional counseling if they have unwanted same-sex attractions and they're a minor. So if the parents want the kid to and the kid wants to, 17 years old, illegal. And what I learned today is if the parents say, well, we'll go to another state, no, that would be illegal too. And it's on the desk of Governor Christie as to whether he will veto it or not. So here you have a situation in New York City where you've got mayor candidate Anthony Weiner. And Anthony Weiner disgraced himself with sexting, with, and then after the public humiliation of it and stepping down from being a representative and his wife standing with him, it turns out all the time he said he's been better and how he's continued in it. How far back does it go? Is he still in it? God knows. But when everyone thought he was fine, he was still doing it, and even worse. So the Daily News declared Weiner to be lacking the dignity and discipline that New York deserves in a mayor. Said his demons have no place at City Hall. Former Governor Elliot Spitzer, another potential candidate, he had disgraced himself and then stepped down from being governor because of a scandal with a prostitute. So he's another potential Democratic candidate. And then one that would be a front runner, Christine Quinn, is an out and proud lesbian who's an aggressive gay activist. You say, where are the candidates for righteousness? Friends, if we just go along with the establishment, it is going to disappoint us. If we think we just play the games with the party and do it however they say, and that, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. Before I go back to the phones, for years I have said that pedophiles have used the exact same arguments that gay activists have used. In fact, in my book, I'm not comparing the acts, I'm comparing the arguments, okay? In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, what a long, strange trip it's been, there is an entire chapter called Speaking of the Unspeakable, Some Disturbing Parallels to Pro-Gay Arguments. And I say plainly, I've got it in bold print to repeat often through the chapter, Michael Brown is not equating homosexual practice with pedophilia. Michael Brown is not calling all homosexuals pedophiles. What I explain is that there are 7 or 8 major arguments that are used by those who call it, sickeningly, intergenerational intimacy. They use the exact same arguments that gay activists have. Pedophilia is innate and immutable. It's richly attested in many different cultures throughout history. The claim that adult-child sexual relationships cause harm is greatly overstated and often completely inaccurate. Consensual adult-child sex can actually be beneficial to the child, and on and on. And you have some who say, oh yeah, I had my first experience when I was 11 with an older man, and it was wonderful. It was the first time I was loved, first time I was cared for, and I support this now that I'm older. So, here's a headline. Pedophiles arguing their sexual orientation is no different than homosexuals. Using the same tactics used by gay rights activists, pedophiles have begun to seek similar status, arguing their desire for children is a sexual orientation no different than heterosexual or homosexual. Critics of the homosexual lifestyle have long claimed that once it became acceptable to identify homosexuality as simply an alternative lifestyle or sexual orientation, logically nothing would be off limits. Of course, gay advocates, homosexual advocates have said, of course, there's no comparison. You're talking about something that's abusive versus something that's consensual. You're talking about something being done to a child versus adults. The issue is, number one, is it innate and immutable? You say, I don't care if it's innate and immutable. Oh, how interesting. How enlightening, isn't it? You follow me? if it doesn't matter if someone says their attraction to little ones is innate, I was born this way and I can't change, they say, I don't care. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it justifiable. Doesn't mean we need to change the law. Doesn't mean we need to explore if kids are really willing. No, no, no. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. Regardless of whether you're born that way and you can't change. Well, why does the same argument then apply to homosexuality? I'm not talking about the acts. I'm talking about the argument. If I was born this way, I can't change. I'm gay, someone will say. So, what does that prove? What does that mean? What if someone says, I have a violent gene? I've always wanted to hurt people and I can't change. What if someone says I have an obesity gene? I gain weight more easily and I'm prone to overweight. Do we have a fat pride parade? Do we celebrate violence? Or do we say your struggles may be very deep? Let's try to help you with them and let's work all the more to get greater discipline in your life. Well, it has to be the same with everything else, or get to the root of it so that we can see change come, especially through the gospel. So a lot of people are sending me these articles, and this has been going on for some months now. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? It's like, I didn't just see it and hear about it. I documented it in depth in the book. Of course these things are going to be raised, and of course there are going to be attempts to lower the age of consent. Of course there are. Why? Because most gay men are after little kids? No, no, no. Because it's the same argument, it's the same mentality, and it's ultimately something that hey, Joey, clip number 7, it's ultimately something that basically says this.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
Yeah, don't. Look, I gotta be me. I gotta be me. This is about me and who I am. I gotta be true to myself. See, that is the defining value of morality in America. I've got to be true to myself. As opposed to, I've got to be true to God. Big difference, isn't it? Here's a married woman. She's having problems with her husband. They got married as believers, but he's really neglects her in many ways and is not a good husband. He's still a believer. And she is absolutely smitten with this guy that she meets, and she falls head over heels for him. And that's who she wants. And she doesn't love her husband anymore. Hey, be true to yourself, honey. If the love isn't there, it's not there. Be true to yourself. That's what divorce is for. And you start a new life with this guy who's really going to treat you right. That's what the world says. That's what the flesh says. That's what the devil says. God says no. Deny yourself. What if he doesn't change? Well, then you struggle through marriage. You have some challenges. Yeah, you do. And you work hard to bring about change. But you don't give in to your desires, no matter how intense they are. All right, let me grab one more call. Al in Medford, Long Island. Thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'd just like to give a brief overview of the primary topic that you've been discussing the past hour. Is my voice clear? Or
loud and clear.
All right, thank you. First thing I guess I should say, I'm kind of at the precipice. I should say that I might be at a disadvantage when I'm speaking because the Bible that I use and purchased like many years ago, even though it has all 66 books, it doesn't have the part in the scriptures that is clear to me where it says that God or Jesus emphasize that there's anything wrong with homosexuality. But beyond that, presuming that our great pastors and learned ministers.
All right, hang on. I don't follow you. You actually have a Bible. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
In that Bible, Jesus said that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and that's the way God intended it from the beginning. And in that Bible,
maybe you could just like tell me like the verse.
Of course, sure. Just go to Matthew chapter 19. Jesus explicitly Matthew chapter 19, start reading there. Then I'll give you some more verses. Matthew 15, okay. Jesus says that all sexual acts outside of male-female marriage defile us. Then in Matthew 5, he says he didn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill it, and he takes the moral requirements of the law further. So I know you were attempting to be sarcastic, but it's actually...
A little bit, but actually that wasn't even my point. I was saying, like, presuming that the popular perception of the interpretation that homosexuality is against the principles of Christ, it just seems to me like when you go further to, like, you know, Jesus saying
stay right there, we'll get to your point on the other side of the break. All right, stay right there, Al.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. Thanks so much for being part of the program today. 866-34-TRUTH. Wednesday, we look at the world, at moral and cultural issues. All right, Al in Medford, back to you. So the point you were making when we ran out of time, go ahead.
The point I'm making is, like, it just seems that, as I said, presuming, and I read the passage, I know you, I see what you're talking about in terms of which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and it's a lot deeper what Jesus is saying in that passage than what's on the surface. But that's not my point. My point is that it seems like if we go by what Jesus said, that was a little more clear in terms of you know, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. It seems that, like, it's the actions that are taking, that people take against, you know, the homosexual community for years and years and years, like, is actually probably the primary fuel, the cause of the equal and opposite reaction. It's people that make such a big deal and let God to handle and judge these things, as opposed to, like, going after it and trying to stop it. I don't think today in our times there would be such a rising of, like, you know, I'm going to show you that I'm gay and I'm going to show you I have power. If we just accepted it, I mean, sure, like, most fish I see, they have two eyes, but I mean, I've seen fish have four or five eyes. I mean,
all right. So Al, just to be clear, we should have the same policy with abortion. We should have the same policy with slavery. We should have the policy with same policy and not really fight these things, because when we oppose them, when we say they're wrong, it's going to create a backlash and people are going to get even more militant. So that's your strategy then.
Oh, actually, I mean, there are...
Let's apply it to abortion then. Let's apply it to the slaughter of the unborn.
I mean, there's a difference between the ideal and also reaching the ideal based on the present circumstances. I mean... obviously, like, to me, it's common sense. Abortion is wrong. I mean, because you're killing children. But when you look at the world,
wait. It's not common sense that God did not make a man to be with a man. That's not common sense. But here, well, hear the hypocrisy, though. In your double standard in your statements. Now, I just want to see if you're consistent.
I don't see the hypocrisy because, I mean, I'm not even advocating that, like. That to me, it is the most confusing issue. So I'm not sure if
Common sense. It's common sense, and it's Bible. It's real simple. But here's the point. I have no question. Hang on. The Bible, without any possible question, to an unbiased reader, reading it through the centuries, understood that homosexual practice was wrong and not what God intended. Okay. The only changes that have come in the reading of the scripture have been after the counterculture revolution and the sexual revolution of the 60s, all right? Otherwise, you study the history of interpretation, and there were plenty of homosexuals through the centuries. And there were known same-sex couples in biblical days in the Greco-Roman world, all right? And all these, and no one thought of redefining marriage then, and no one thought of rewriting the Bible then. They would reject it. But it was understood.
Well, you're also talking about 1% of 1% of the population, because the other 99% didn't even understand the Bible. They only got the information from their pastors and and on that basis, that, you know, they,
well, they've,
like,
for
they,
hundreds
they
and hundreds
pay
and
pay
hundreds of years,
for
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, people have had access to the scriptures. And hey, they had access to the scriptures in the first century. And Paul wrote letters to the believers in the churches. These were publicly read. He didn't just write to the leaders. The fact of the matter is, here's the issue. You are counseling us to sin against God and sin against people. To let our kids, listen, to let our kids be brainwashed in schools, to have ungodly legislation passed that would make it illegal for a kid that wanted help with unwanted same-sex attractions to get counseling, that would steal religious rights and freedoms by redefining marriage and all this. I'm articulating what you're actually saying.
Is that the oppression that the church has put on these people to keep them away from Jesus. I mean, if you're going to put your thumb
what
on
oppression?
And say, like,
What oppression? And like the
leaders of our church
are going to say,
Al,
what oppression?
What oppression?
Al,
I mean,
Al,
I've had
what?
A radio where, like,
Al,
the most
Al, I'm going to give you one chance to respond. What oppression? Can you answer?
And you want to call me a hypocrite?
All right. You know, it's amazing. Yeah, I'm calling you hypocritical in what you're saying, because you're saying one thing with one issue. It's common sense. It's murder, or it's, you know, you're killing babies in the womb. Common sense, that's wrong. You make claims about oppression. You misrepresent Jesus. Listen, Al, I'm very happy to have a conversation. And if you would actually answer my questions, I would have let you talk. But when you can't even answer a question, my time is real short, but I'm going to give you one last shot. Tell me what oppression.
People, you were discussing.
Unreal. Whoa, was that unreal? Hasn't even stopped talking to listen the entire time. I put him on hold to hear me for a second so I would not be rude to you, the listeners. God bless you, Al. Read the Bible, all right? Read the Bible. The fact that I had to tell you where verses were, that you should have known by heart before even calling. Read the Bible you talk about, all right? I can guarantee you this. I'm involved with more people reaching out with compassion to homosexual men and women, praying for them with tears, helping with deeds of compassion in different parts of the world and here to help those struggling, and reaching out to those who oppose us with the love of God. I guarantee I'm more involved in that than you are. Mm-hmm. Yep. And my community is. Gotta be. All right. We pray for you, buddy. We pray for you. Is that instructive? I do have to say, though, that there's probably a record for someone continuing to talk without listening, because if it happens and it gets disruptive, I don't hang up on the person. I put them on hold so that they can chill for a minute, and then I can try to bring them back on to share their point of view. Very enlightening, though, I would say, and one of the joys of live talk radio. Friends, ultimately, this underscores to me that it's a spiritual battle, and we need God's armor to do things rightly, because people are not our enemies. Have you downloaded my 24 hours of teaching, 12 hours on spiritual warfare, 12 hours on angels, demons, and deliverance? I'm talking about scripturally grounded teaching that'll stir your heart, that'll open your eyes. We've made it available, all 24 hours, for just a $15 download. So it's a massive drop on the normal cost for getting this, and we want to make it available to you to be a blessing to you. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Just click right there on the homepage. You'll see the special resource offer. Take advantage of it. If it's easier for you to do it by phone with your email address, call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, confusion reigns in our society. Emotional, irrational thinking reigns. Therefore, let us go back to the sobriety and clarity of the Word of God.